Of course, one of the foundations in Buddhism, and Jhanchha would put a lot of emphasis on, is in the faith in Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. And you think, well, you know, that's pretty ordinary in a Buddhist culture. But it also, you know, for us as Westerners, we're not familiar with Buddhism. We're not familiar with even Triple Gem, Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. What's that mean? But and so we have to learn about it. But then, even in traditional Buddhist culture, what is the traditional refuges of Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha can get really obscured in custom and tradition, the animistic beliefs, all sorts of other accretions that glom onto any religion, and just being able for Ajahn Chah to be teaching those fundamentals, those foundations of what is it that's really important to have faith in? What do we put our faith in? And where do we put our, what do we ground our sense of devotion to? So that these refuges, and these go way back to the earliest days of the Buddhist teaching, and of course to reflect on that is really important. Ajahn Chah was, of course, would always bring that to people's consciousness. So I just wanted to do a short reading on aspect. Throughout his teaching career, Lumpa sought to encourage lay Buddhists to go beyond a merely superficial affiliation with the religion, expressed in material support for the monastic order and ritual observances. His concern was that they should learn how to use the Buddha's teachings to reduce suffering and increase the quality of their lives. He did this by bringing the teachings down to earth, expressing them in the vernacular, and revealing them as tools to be used in daily life, rather than as objects of reverence. This strategy is clearly revealed in the way that Lumpa spoke about the three refuges. He emphasized that Buddha does not only refer to the founder of the religion, who, some 2,500 years ago, lived in India, as it was his realization of the Dhamma that transformed Siddhartha Gautama into the Buddha. His Buddha nature and the Dhamma were one and the same thing. That's a quote. When you see the Dhamma, you see the Buddha, and all your doubts vanish. The Buddha is the Dhamma. The Dhamma is the Buddha. The historical Buddha did not take enlightenment with him. He left it right here. Therefore, as the Dhamma is timeless, Lumpa insisted, it is still as accessible to one who follows the Buddha's teachings as it ever was. Kind of quote, the Buddha is still present today. The Buddha is the truth. Truth is always present. No matter who is born and who dies, the truth remains the same. It never disappears from the world. It's always here in exactly this way. Seeking to express this idea to a group of teachers, he drew an analogy. There is a body of knowledge and skills that, once mastered, allows people to make a living as a teacher. People become teachers for a number of years and then retire. But the knowledge and skills that made them teachers remains. It's a quote again. Similarly, the truth that makes a human being a Buddha still exists. It hasn't disappeared. Two Buddhas are born. One is physical and the other immaterial. As for the true Dhamma, the Buddha said, Ananda, keep practicing. You will thrive in this Dhamma of Vinaya. Whoever sees the Dhamma sees me. Whoever sees me sees the Dhamma. How could that be? It sounds as if the Buddha and Dhamma are being mixed up and made into the same thing. Actually, to begin with, there was no Buddha. The Buddha could only be called by the name of Buddha when he realized the Dhamma. Before that, he was Prince Siddhartha. It's like all of you. Now you're just unenlightened village folk. But if you were to realize the true Dhamma, then you'd be exactly the same as the Buddha. There would be no difference. So, understand this point, all of you. Right now, the Buddha is still present. Lumpa found the belief originating in scholarly circles that it is no longer possible in the present day and age to realize enlightenment to be a pernicious one. He spoke grimly of the kamma created by scholars who criticized those putting effort into practice of the teachings as wasting their time. He considered the holders of such a view like fools who conclude that because they can see no water beneath their feet, that there can be none beneath the earth they stand on. And Paul gives this quote again, which I mentioned. To put it simply, practice is like digging a well. In the Buddha's time, they dug down into the earth in order to find water. When they met roots and rocks, they removed them, and eventually they reached water. There was no need to create the water. All they had to do was dig the well to access it. In the present day, you can dig a well in order to get water in exactly the same way. Whenever you get down to the water-bearing strata, you'll find water. So it says,